We could almost go home now. But no. It is so good to see you this morning. Let me tell you, I'm not sure about the two baskets of tomatoes that are on the basket or on the table out there. And I was told by our community garden committee they were putting those out so people could get them before the service. So don't be throwing these at the preacher today. And I brought one with me, so if you start throwing, I can start throwing. I'm not sure what that plan is, but I'm ready and armed and ready. I have my armor today. We're going to be back in Ephesians chapter 6. And you know, last week we talked about the first part of the armor, which is the belt of truth. And I brought this belt last week to kind of represent the truth. Kind of modern day belt. This is what someone in law enforcement or military might be wearing. And on this belt, they carry a lot of tools. The tools they can pull out at any time when they need them to go into battle against the enemy. And somebody in law enforcement would never, ever go out into doing their job without wearing the belt. And the belt is the same way for us as Christians. The belt represents the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to understand that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. This peace, as we see as we go week by week, is on every week, and it ties all the other pieces together. Because when you're finished and when you have all the equipment on and all the armor on, the belt is what holds it all together. I want to tell you this morning, as Christians and as followers of Christ, the truth is what holds us together. The truth is what gets us through the war. That people can throw all kinds of things against us, but we know the truth. This world is trying to teach us so much about what is true according to the world's standards. And I want you to know today, we need to stand on the truth according to God's standards. And if you do that, we will be able to fight effectively the war that comes against us, against powers, and against all those who would try to come against us. This morning we're looking at the second piece of armor. I asked Lee if he would come and kind of model for me this morning. Today we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. And this is kind of a modern day breastplate that you would find a law enforcement wearing. And it goes like this. It wraps around and then it connects on both sides. And it kind of protects. And you can tell by wearing this what it protects. What does it protect? It protects organs. It protects the heart. It protects everything down here, and it protects the back. And this is also what law enforcement would wear under their shirt, or sometimes they'd have a bigger one that they would wear outside the shirt. And it's there as another layer of protection. Thanks. You can just wear that the rest of the service if you want to. I'll get it back for me in a minute. One day several years ago, I had the honor to go into elementary schools and teach part of the junior deputy program. Oh, don't take it off. It looks good on you. And so I was showing the little kids the vest and was talking about you put it on. And let me tell you, when the news media says they were wearing their bulletproof vest, just roll your eyes because there's no such thing. That is a bullet-resistant vest because it can still be penetrated and law enforcement are still in harm's way even wearing the right equipment. But I was showing it to these little kids, and they were like five-year-olds, kindergartners and first graders. And I put the vest on and was showing them how it worked. And this one little kid raised his hand, and I said, "You have a question?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What's your question?" He said, "If you're wearing the vest and somebody shoots you in the head, will you still die?" I said, "Yes, probably that would happen," because the kids are cute. But I want you to know this morning that we're going to talk about this vest. the breastplate of righteousness. And as we talk about that, what we're going to learn is righteousness is all about doing what's right and doing what God has told us to do. And the breastplate of righteousness is there to protect us from things that would come and harm us. Now, in ancient Jewish times, the heart represented the mind and the will, and the bowels represented seats of emotions and feelings. And that's the reason why this protection was there, but also to protect against strikes against our body that would kill us, things that would hurt us and could possibly take our life. And I want you to know that there are military men and women and there are law enforcement people all across our country and world today that are wearing this plate of protection in order to be able to win the battle and not be killed. And this morning as we look at Ephesians 6, last week we talked about girding ourselves with the belt of truth. Today we're talking about putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, sometimes we have to understand the word before we can even move on. So I want you to understand this morning that the word righteousness in a nutshell means being obedient to Christ and acting in a Christ-like way. It's as simple as that. And there are several verses in 1 John that talk about righteousness. 1 John 2:1 says, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with our Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Christ is righteous. 1 John 2:29, if you know that He is righteous, you know this as well. Everyone who does what is right has been born of Him. In 1 John 3:7, little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. Now let me tell you a secret. It's not really a secret. But if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are righteous. You may think, well, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm righteous or not. My word tells me that when we become saved and become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become righteous. You are righteous. I am righteous. And because of that, when we know the truth that we have put on with the belt, we know that God imputes to us, He gives to us righteousness. Isn't it pretty cool? You can walk around and say, I'm righteous. Now, we're not talking about self-righteousness that a lot of people have. We are talking about righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that's a powerful piece of the armor that we are wearing. Romans 5:15 says, just as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Because of Adam, we are all sinners. Because of Jesus Christ, we are all righteous. And Christ and God has made us that. I want you to understand, as we talk about this breastplate, we have been saved and made righteous with God. We need to choose daily. Every day, we need to choose to do what is right in God's eyes. You know, it's easy sometimes to come to church and put on our best and walk through the door and say, well, I feel pretty righteous today. I came to Sunday school and church. But tomorrow, I may not wear my armor. I may not be quite as righteous tomorrow. But I want you to know that we have to put this armor on every day. And every day we need to pray, first thing out of the bed, God, what can I do today to be Christ-like? What can I do today that will show Your love through my life that I can be so obedient to You that people will see it? Well, I want to tell you a few things that Christ did to show righteousness. First of all, He focused on pleasing His Father. Jesus Christ was obedient to God in all that He did. That is the way we are supposed to do when we put on that shield. We need to model righteousness like Christ did. There was not anything that happened in Christ's life while He was living on earth that He did not remain obedient to His Father even during temptation. Remember, we talked about the temptation. Satan tried to tempt him in all areas, and Christ kept using the scripture and saying, don't tempt me. I cannot be tempted because I love my Father way too much. Let me tell you, church family, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you can overcome temptation because you will want to please God the Father. I want to tell you, when you please God, nothing else matters. And there may be temporal problems on earth. If you please God, you may be made fun of, you may be laughed at, you may be told your faith is dumb, that everything that you're doing is kind of crazy. I said that last week. Then you need to stay firm and love and be obedient to the Father. I want you to know also, Jesus would not be disobedient. He came with a clear goal, and the clear goal of Christ was to seek and save the lost. Let me tell you, church family, and this is going to be hard on a lot of us this morning, our primary focus as believers is not to come to East Silva Baptist Church. It is not to serve on any committee that's established by this church. It is not to do anything other than love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And when we love God with all that we have, all these other things will fall into place. When you love God, you'll want to serve. When you love the Lord, you'll want to be a part of a ministry team. When you love God, you will want to love on each other. And I shared a few weeks ago, if you feel some ill feeling coming in your heart or mind about somebody, stop and pray about it. Because if you love God, you have to love me. Tough thought, isn't it? When you love God, you have to love me. Because God tells you to. That's part of being righteous. We cannot be disobedient. We're here to win the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. But even God faced temptations. Even Christ faced a time when people were trying to get Him to be disobedient, when they were trying to trip Him up in the Word of God and say, well, the law says this, and the law says this, and they would try to trip Christ up to make Him say something that was wrong. But Christ remained obedient to the Word and to His Father. And because of that, He has modeled for us righteousness. Well, how does that work? Well, when you're tempted, go to the Word of God. When somebody tries to tell you your faith is worthless, go to the Word of God. Stay obedient to the Father. When somebody tells you that all this stuff that the world is telling us is okay to do, go to God and ask those questions. Stay obedient to God. And I will tell you, in the end, when you stay obedient to God, you will receive a reward. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But we have to stay obedient to God. I want you to understand that the enemy attacks righteousness. There was a student that was talking about, they were asked to write down two most important things that they wanted to ask. One of the questions that these college kids came up with is, how do I keep from doing wrong? And that was a primary question that came up in this college student Bible study group. The answer to that question may sound simplistic, but if you want to keep from doing wrong, obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow His Word. Get so ingrained in the Word of God that when temptation comes, you know the answers to it and you know how to combat it. Satan wants to attack our sinful nature. He wants to begin this conversation with us. I could just imagine. Satan comes up and he's trying to steal us. He's trying to attack us. He says, hey, Reed, what's going on today? Man, see that? You really want to go down. It's okay to go do that. Nobody will care. You can eat that little apple off that tree. It doesn't matter. You can kind of give in to temptation. And you see, Satan starts these conversations with us. And the longer we stay in those conversations with Satan, the more opportunity we have to be defeated. Satan will try to tell you, hey, that over there, man, it will give you the greatest pleasure. I mean, just think about all the fun you'll have. Man, just think about all the cool friends you'll have. And he starts his conversation with us. But the Lord tells us in James chapter 4, submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And I also told you last week, what did I tell you to do when you were faced with temptation? Run. Go away from it. Running's not the coward way. Running is the way to stay obedient to the Father. And sometimes we have to walk away. There have been times that I've had to turn and walk away because I knew that I was fixing to walk into a temptation that I didn't even want to face. So the easiest thing to do was turn and walk and get away. So Satan will start these conversations with us and try to make us feel guilty. It's just like the story of Adam and Eve. And Eve had that conversation about the apple. Now let me tell you, the Garden of Eden was full of fruits and vegetables. The Garden of Eden had many, many, many trees. But Satan went after Adam and Eve because the one tree that they could not have was what Satan wanted them to have. And Satan started this conversation. Well, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. God doesn't want you to be like Him. Go ahead and eat it. It's okay. Look how juicy and red this apple looks. And the conversation goes on and on and on. What would happen if Eve had ran? Something to think about, isn't it? But she didn't. And she stayed. And she was attacked and lost that war. The enemy tries to distract, direct our attention to what we don't have. Be satisfied with what God has given you. And then when Satan comes up and says, ooh, look at that over there. That's a lot better than what you... Don't you want that? That's so nice. You need that. Whatever that is. Satan will try to convince us that you need it. Of all the things you have, the one thing you don't have, that's what he wants to lead you down that path. And we need to understand God gives us exactly what we need. Satan also makes things and sin look really, really good. It kind of takes me back to David and Bathsheba. And that's two of my favorite stories. I'm going to mention both of them this morning. David is up on his balcony, up at his bedchambers were on the top level of his kingdom there. And he was walking around, and he looks over the wall and he sees Bathsheba. And Satan starts that conversation with David. And I could just imagine that conversation. Ooh, David, look at that lady down there. Isn't she good looking? I mean, even the Bible said she was beautiful. I think that's something you don't have, David, and I think it'd be okay if you just went and took what you wanted. At that point, if David had turned and ran, he'd have been all right, but he didn't. And the longer he stayed in that conversation with Satan, the more he was tempted and ended up losing that battle. Now later, David came back with a repentant heart, and God said, David, I forgive you. But because of your sin, there are going to be consequences. You know what? There's always consequences. Satan makes it look real good until it's over. Where's he at when we're suffering the consequences? He's off messing with somebody else. Or he's sitting back laughing at us because we weren't faithful enough. We weren't wearing the breastplate of righteousness in order to protect what we have from him. There's another story in the Bible that I really, really like a lot. You know the story. It comes from Genesis chapter 39. And it talks about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. You remember that story? If you don't remember the story, go read it in Genesis 39. And I'll give it to you in a nutshell this morning. Potiphar hires Joseph. Joseph goes to work for Potiphar. Potiphar loves Joseph. He's given him reign over the whole house. He's over all the household affairs. And in strolls Potiphar's wife one day. And she is a beautiful woman. And walks up to Joseph and says, hey, Joseph, I want you to come to my bedroom with me. Now, if Joseph had had the same conversation with Satan that David did, guess what he probably would have done? The wrong thing. But Joseph said, I am staying obedient to my God and to Potiphar, who is your husband. I cannot do that. I will refuse. He was wearing his breastplate that day. And Potiphar's wife came back many, many times. You know, we don't really think about the whole story about what do you think she looked like? What do you think she was wearing? What do you think she was doing to entice Joseph to change his mind? And several times Joseph says, no. Finally, the last time, what did Joseph do? He ran from that temptation. Everything worked out, didn't it? He went to jail. He got accused. Man, that's a good life. Hey, do what God wants, get thrown in jail. Hey, I'll sign up for that any day. But let me tell you, the end result was God blessed him more for being faithful than he was before that. God rewarded him because he stayed righteous and he was able to win that fight. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness means doing what is right. It means fleeing from temptation and not allowing Satan to get his grip on us. The good news for David was that God forgave him. The good news for Joseph, even after going to jail, he stayed faithful and God rewarded him. And I want you to understand the good news for you and for I today is God will always give us grace and we can renew our commitments to God day by day. I want to share a prayer that David uttered in Psalm 51. This is what he says. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love. According to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Let me tell you. Whether you have won that battle or you have lost that battle, God is still there for you and for me. All we need to do is to humbly pray, Lord, create in me a new heart and a new spirit and allow me to serve you. I want you to understand today, if you don't put this armor on every day, you need to. You need to have the truth to live day by day. You need to wear the breastplate of righteousness in order to overcome the things that will come your way. For all those of us in this room that may be older generation, you know, the temptations are still there and still as strong as they are for young people. They just may look differently. But I'm telling you, our students who go to school, those who go to middle school and high school and college, they face incredible temptation every day. From fellow students, or even in some colleges, from professors that are trying to teach our students the wrong things. And if you're a student in this room, let me tell you this. Stand up firm in your faith and don't allow anyone to change that faith. Stay strong in the Lord. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. Stay away from the temptations that would take you away from God. Wear it every day. And as we go through these pieces, you're going to see how important every piece is. And I want to guard my heart and my soul as much as I can to keep Satan from stabbing me and poking me with all those temptations. And I don't want to be wounded by that. Wear your breastplate. Wear your belt of truth. And stand firm and do what's right. You want an answer about how to act in life? It's in the book. You want to find out how Jesus responded to certain things during His life? Read it in the book. You want to know how to overcome temptation in your own life? Read the book. Every answer that you need is right here in this book. And the more you know it, the stronger you can stand. And God wants us to stand. What this world needs now are people who will stand up. Let me tell you, I'm going to close with this story. I mentioned it last Wednesday night, I believe, in prayer meeting. That a division of the Navy, that is over their lodges and base hotels for base personnel, had decided in their infinite wisdom that they were going to remove all religious things out of those hotels and base camps, and that included the Bibles that Gideon's put there. They were going to take it away from people in the Navy that were coming to stay on those bases. But guess what I read last night? There was such an outcry from Navy personnel and from outside the Navy that were Christians that the head of the Navy said, I'm not real sure who made that decision. It did not come through the high administration of the Navy, and we are putting those Bibles back in those places until a review can be conducted. Yeah, you better believe that's an amen moment. You put that breastplate on, and yes, we can win battles if we stand together. And those Bibles are going back in those base hotels and in those rooms that people come to stay in on base. But I will tell you, the key to that article was pending further review. Guess what? That means we need to be pending further prayer that God will take care of that. It's interesting how people who claim there is no God, why they get up so uptight about people worshiping the God that they say there is not one. That guy tells me they may know something more than they think they know. And we need to be praying that God can reach those people. Because there's coming a day. I don't know when it is. But there's coming a day where people who are not born-again believers will suffer immensely because the tribulation's coming. Look around you. Look around you. How much longer will God allow Satan to do his work? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. And Lord, thank you for the pieces of armor that you have given to us in your word that we need to wear. And Father, help us all to be bold and put this breastplate of righteousness on and be obedient to you, Father, to follow you with all of our heart and to do what's right, no matter what the situation, to do what's right. And if it means losing friends to stand up for you, so be it. If it means not being part of the cool group, then so be it. But Lord, help us to do what's right. Help us to love each other. Help us to stand together in unity as we fight off the darkness of this world. Lord, help us to know the truth and to resist temptation. And Father, I continue to pray that hedge of protection around our church, that Satan would not get a foothold in this place, and we would continue to grow, and we would continue to love you as a church and reach out to this community as a church and love on each other. Because we may not be able to get that kind of love anywhere else except for inside these walls. But Lord, the most important thing for us is to be willing to go out into the battlefield and fight for you. Lord, help us to invite people to come to our church. Help us to share our faith and our testimony and be bold and not be afraid. Now, Lord, we just ask you to be with our time of invitation today. Father, we just give this time to you, and we just thank you for what you mean to us and for the word that you've given us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing our invitation hymn this morning. And maybe you've been struggling in an area of temptation, or maybe you're under attack. Maybe Satan's after you, and you just don't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you, what to do is to pray and to surround yourself with Christian people that can pray for you and stand tall. It may be tough going through the war, but when we get through the other side, God will give you peace, and He will reward you. If you have anything that you would like to pray about, I invite you to come down front. If you have a decision you'd like to make, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do that so God can start equipping you with that armor and you can wear it every day and you'll be able to fend off those attacks. So I encourage you to come. If you want to join this fellowship, we would love for you to be a part of East Silva Baptist Church. It's a great, great place with great people that love the Lord, and we would love for you to come and be a part. Let's stand together as Jan comes and leads us in our invitation hymn.
Thank you.